truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Have you ever thought to yourself when you go to bed and thought to yourself, maybe I'd be better off if I wasn't in Washington?
I call upon the Justice Department.
But I stand with the NFL Players Association, not to make Rush Limbaugh.
The next is communication. We need someone who can really communicate.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
He's a jackass.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. A trip through the looking glass of talk radio. And this is the original Phil Hendry Show, and with us tonight, Margaret Gray is going to join us here in a second to talk about more on Rush Limbaugh. Now, the Limbaugh story has a number of twists and flips and turns. The story itself is... What'd you do that for, bud?
I just like the song. I want to hear the last part of it.
The story itself... Get out of here with that song, will you?
Sorry.
The story itself has quite a few permutations. There's not just... Or not, I wouldn't say permutations so much as the tributaries. The story has, obviously, Rush's involvement. The story also has the involvement of an individual by the name of Dave Checketts. Dave is the owner of the St. Louis Blues, or at least he's one of the partners that owns the St. Louis Blues hockey team. And it is obviously an endeavor that makes him a qualified man to own this kind of a business. It's an entertainment business, but it's a part of a larger business. So if you own a hockey team, you own a baseball team, you own a professional basketball team or a football team or a soccer team, you're the owner of the team, but you're also partnered with other owners in a larger business entity called, what have you, National Football League, National Hockey League, and so forth. So it's better really to see what these people do, not so much in terms of them being owners as them being, well, what we call them, franchise holders. And they keep a certain amount of the money, and a little bit of the money goes to the league, and the merchandising all goes to the league, and the television all goes to the league, and then the league splits the merchandise and the television money up, and that's kind of, and then they get to keep their concession and their local ticket revenue and whatever else they're able to cut locally. But for the most part, these guys are all partners in a very large business called, in the case of the National Football League, professional football. To give you an example here in terms of the dollars from television, the Green Bay Packers, think about that. The Green Bay Packers are a team in a town called Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's a little itsy-bitsy spot of a town up there on Green Bay, Wisconsin. I've been there. It's small. It's like driving through, just to give an example here in Southern California, I might as well be driving through Ventura. I might as well be driving through, like, Ontario. It's a small little town. But because it has a tradition of having a professional football team there, and more importantly, because the money made by the league in terms of television and merchandise is split equally, a little team like Green Bay or a little town like Green Bay can support a big-time professional football operation. Why don't they do that in baseball? Because the tradition of shared revenue isn't there. And television for baseball is just not the same thing. They've got far more games. It is not a national game the way football is. Baseball is a highly local sport that interconnects with other local teams to create this large national phenomenon called baseball. All right, I thought I would just sort of jump in with a little bit of that. Margaret Gray is going to join us now, and she is online from Santa Monica, California tonight to talk. She's a nationally syndicated writer. She writes a column that appears in about 150 papers daily called A Little Bird Told Me. And Margaret, you were on this story before Rush Limbaugh's involvement, weren't you?
Well, Phil, I really was. I was involved in this story as early as last month when I knew that there was going to be interest in purchasing the St. Louis Rams in order to keep them in St. Louis. It was at that time that I decided to write a column investigating Dave Checketts. Dave Checketts is, as you correctly pointed out, Phil, he's the managing partner of this effort to buy the St. Louis Rams and to keep them in St. Louis.
All right, so the St. Louis Rams are actually in danger of leaving town. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. In much the same way that the Cleveland Browns left Cleveland and went to Baltimore, that the Brooklyn Dodgers left Brooklyn, New York, and moved to Los Angeles. Very, very similar, and it's interesting to see how each individual community reacts to it. In the case of St. Louis, they have put their trust in what I have called the Mitt Romney option. Now, what is the Mitt Romney option?
Yes, what is the Mitt Romney option?
Well, I'll tell you. Dave Checkett is a Mormon. And I think it's interesting that certain racial comments have been attributed to Rush Limbaugh. When you know and I know that Mitt Romney, during his run for the presidency, had an awful lot to answer for in terms of his religion.
All right, Margaret, let's stop right there.
And I know what you're going to say, Phil.
No, let's stop right there. Mitt Romney explained, I think, about as clearly as any man could, that his religion, Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That they are called LDS, I believe, or LTS, LDS.
LDS. They are not a racist religion. They had a racist component at one time that they eliminated, and that Mitt Romney has said he does not share in any way, shape, or form. So what is this story that you think that you have found here?
Well, first of all, Phil, it isn't that I think I found anything. I was one of the people when I found out that Dave Checkett was going to be a managing partner of this group. I put it upon myself to alert the American people by way of my column what they were up against. And I can tell you that the response was as if I was writing for the dead.
There was no response.
There was no response. And that's when I had to, working with some of my editors, we had to formulate, I don't like using the word fabricate, formulate some of these quotes that have been attributed to Rush Limbaugh. Now, Phil...
All right, now, that's the part that I want to get into here, because I heard that you claim you invented out of whole cloth one of the Rush Limbaugh quotes. I don't have it here.
Yes, I did. Well, the one that you're thinking of, I said in my column that Limbaugh was heard on the air one day, quoting Barack Obama, and Obama was said to have said this about Robert Gibbs. I swear that that boy has N blood in him. End quote.
And you invented that?
I invented that, yes.
You invented that, and people, when you say you invented that, why do they think Rush Limbaugh said it?
Calm down, Phil.
No, don't tell me to calm down. Why do they believe that Rush Limbaugh said that?
Calm down, Phil. I'm not really, I don't really want to be here being yelled at.
Why do they believe Rush Limbaugh said that?
Because I wrote that he said that.
Why did you do something so scurrilous and so libelous?
Hold on for a minute. I told you that I will not be yelled at.
Margaret, you understand that what you're saying...
And I will not be lectured either, so I'm asking you to calm down. We can talk. I'm halfway hanging the phone up right now. But we can talk if you want to calm down.
All right. I will ask this in as respectful a way as I can.
Good.
Why would you concoct a phrase like that and then attribute it to Rush Limbaugh?
Because of the Mormon factor.
What does that mean?
Calm down.
I'm calm. Ms. Gray, you can hang up if you want to. I'm not going to have you keep telling me to calm down.
I'm asking you to calm down.
I'm calm. Why would you attribute a phrase like that to Rush Limbaugh?
First of all, I didn't. I said that Obama said it and that Limbaugh repeated it.
All right. So you, in your column you wrote that...
Please, Phil.
I'm calm. In your column, you wrote, Rush Limbaugh on his show the other day...
No, what I wrote was overheard on the Limbaugh show. Overheard on the Limbaugh show, Rush was saying that Barack Obama said of Robert Gibbs, quote, I swear I believe that boy has N blood in him, end quote.
All right. But Barack Obama never said that.
No, he did not.
And Rush Limbaugh never said that.
Well, technically, I didn't say that Rush said it. I said Rush was quoting Obama.
Yeah, but what the effect is that people think that now Rush is lying about Obama and making up those phrases. So my question goes back to this. Why are you making these things up?
Don't you hear too good? I said the more...
Yes, I hear fine.
I said the Mormon factor. And that is...
The Mormon factor because Dave Checkitz is a Mormon.
Because Dave Checkitz, yes, is a Mormon.
And you think that Mormons are racist?
I didn't say that. I said there was a Romney factor. The Romney factor.
The Romney factor is the Mormon factor.
Yes.
And the Mormon factor is what?
I just think people have the right to know, Phil. They have the right to know if Mitt Romney is a Mormon. And equally, if one of the owners of the St. Louis Rams is a Mormon.
You know, I don't really see the equation when you say equally.
What?
Well, if Romney, who's running for president, is a Mormon, or if Dave Checkitz, who is going to own part of the St. Louis Rams, if he's a Mormon, you seem to think that those two things are the same.
Well, I just heard a guest of yours saying that football was as powerful an institution as the United States Congress or even the executive branch. And I would dare say that I would agree with that in this context. If you've got Limbaugh, a man who said that Robert Gibbs has, quote, N-blood in him, end quote.
He never said that, though. You said that he was quoting Obama, and Obama never said that. You have said that you made that up.
I would ask you to calm down.
Ma'am, I'm not going to calm down anymore. I'm going to be speaking at this volume and at this decibel level.
Well, it sounds like you're getting over a cold.
I am getting over a cold, but I cannot allow you to tell me to calm down when you say to me that you made up a phrase that you put into Rush Limbaugh's mouth saying that Obama said that Gibbs has blank, has, quote, N-blood in him, end quote.
That was my understanding, yes.
Margaret, how can you say that's your understanding when you're the one that made the phrase up?
It was to draw attention to this grab by this group of Mormons and to get people to open their eyes and to do some reading.
Do you have a problem with Mormons?
No, I most certainly do not.
Do you have a problem with Mormons owning the St. Louis Rams?
Not at all.
Then why would this be a big story? Why, in other words, you said that nobody reacted to this story.
No, no one did react to the story. I think they were afraid to react to the story. I think they needed permission to react to the story. And I knew that the way into this story was by way of Rush Limbaugh. It was not by way of Dave Checkitz. That was too frightening. People didn't want to risk that. You go against the Mormons, and I don't know. So I went in by way of the Rush Limbaugh entrance.
And you made up phrases that he never said.
I didn't say that...
I know. You made up phrases that you said he was quoting Obama as having said. Okay, we'll take a break here.
I don't understand.
I don't understand her either. She's talking about Rush Limbaugh. She made up a phrase. She made up a quote and put it in her column. She says that Limbaugh was quoting Obama as having said, Robert Gibbs, I swear that boy has N-blood in him. But she made it up. However, it's been attributed to Rush Limbaugh, and on top of everything else, the reason why she's focusing this story on Limbaugh is she really wants people to know that one of the guys that wants to buy the Rams is a Mormon.
That's so funny.
You got to be kidding me, man. That's the funniest thing I ever heard. We'll be back with Margaret Gray here in just a moment. More of your phone calls at 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Bill Henry Show.
Margaret Gray on the line with us here from Santa Monica this evening. She's a writer for the Dicklin Syndicate and has a column coming out tomorrow, a follow-up on a column she started actually prior to the Rush Limbaugh story breaking. That the story for her is Dave Checketts, who is one of the partners, and I guess he's the lead gentleman in this deal to purchase the Rams. He is a Mormon. And Margaret, your statement that this is the Mormon factor, or the, you've called it the Romney factor, the Mormon factor. What exactly are we talking about?
Well, Phil, I think what we're talking about here really is just what the American people were concerned with when Mitt Romney was running for president. And that is that I think we want full disclosure. We want to make sure that we know who it is we're dealing with. When you buy a ticket to see the St. Louis Rams or any sporting event of any team that is owned by anyone, I'm sure you want to know whether they're Mormons or not, or some other group, correct?
I never ask myself, do the people who own this team, are they Mormons?
No, I don't mean Mormons. I mean, I'm sure you want to know what and who they are. The Dave Checkett story, which I researched for 3 months, did not get the interest that I thought it would, and I know now why. There was great fear. People were frightened to death to go up against something as big and as powerful and as potentially devastating as the Mormon Church. And so I went at the Dave Checkett's group by way of Limbaugh. The phrase, I don't hate black people, I own three of them, I attributed that to Obama. But I had Rush Limbaugh quoting him, yes.
See, I don't understand that. Number one, you are saying that you didn't really make anything up about Rush because you said he was quoting Obama, right?
That's correct.
All right, and why would Obama say, I don't hate black people, I own three of them?
I don't know. And I don't know why anyone would take it that seriously, but apparently they have. And I'm sorry if it has hurt Mr. Limbaugh, but it is simply trying to get focus on the story. And that is the Mitt Romney, Dave Checkett tie-in.
Well, we don't even know if there's a tie-in between Mitt Romney and Dave Checkett. Just because these two guys are Mormons doesn't mean they even know each other. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and let's go over to Amber here in Mobile, Alabama. Amber, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. What's going on tonight?
How are you doing, Phil? And I'm so glad.
Very good, thank you.
That's great. I'm glad you stay calm for Miss Gray. Miss Gray, what I wanted to...
Well, he was a little bit over the top, I think. I think he needed calming down.
I don't think so, Miss Gray, considering what I'm talking about here.
Absolutely not, and actually he is a lot calmer than he normally is, Miss Gray, so I will give him that. Now, especially when he's up against what he's up against with the conversation with you. Now, the only thing I have to say to you is
whatever.
Once you write something, as a writer and as a columnist, it is your responsibility to own what you write. Now, you can't say,
I do.
No, you're not. And
yes,
the reason you're not is because when he asked you very pointed questions to validate what you were writing about, there was I didn't want to fabricate, but for lack of a better word, I believe is what you said, and that I just believe that the people needed to know. Well, first of all...
Well, they do need to know, because, Amber, you know as well as I do that most people that own professional sports teams are Jews. Now we have a story with it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And it doesn't matter whether they're Jews.
No, you're not hanging that one on me. No, you're not hanging that on me. You know full well most of them are Jews.
I don't know that at all.
And so the point I'm making to you is, Miss Gray, is that it doesn't matter whether they're Jews or whether they're black, white, Hispanic, yellow, green, or black. If they have enough money and they have enough business sense in order to negotiate a deal to own a team and they're able to manage it in a way that it's profitable, that's capitalism.
That sounds very neat.
Capitalism.
That sounds very neat. I don't have a problem with that. Then why are the Mormons butting in?
Obviously you do. And because
no, I do not.
Okay. So it cannot be both ways, Miss Gray. You either
right.
is or it isn't. You either have a problem
Absolutely.
With it or you don't.
You've never said Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to your bosses. You've never said that. I'm sure you have.
That has nothing to do with anything.
All right.
I'm talking about your column.
Thank you, Amber. We'll be back here. World famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Before we return to Margaret Gray and talking more about the column that she wrote a week ago concerning the St. Louis Ram ownership situation, she is making the claim that she fabricated at least two of these quotes that have been attributed to Mr. Limbaugh. And the reason why she did this is not so much to draw attention to Rush Limbaugh, but to the larger story that she feels exists, and that is that the St. Louis Rams, the group attempting to buy them, is being headed up by a Mormon, a man by the name of Dave Checkitz. All right, we'll get back to Margaret in a moment. I want you to listen to Chris Matthews. We pointed this out, this comment from Mr. Matthews that I thought was, you know, these guys, just they never cease to amaze me the way they talk about people. It all depends on a person as to whether you can threaten violence or tacitly threaten violence or infer violence. It's okay for some. It isn't okay for others. I mean, the hypocrisy that's stinking the contemporary news scene up, it's ripe.
You guys see Live and Let Die, the great Bond film with Yaphet Kotto as the bad guy, Mr.
Oh,
Big.
I remember this comment, yeah.
Hold on for a minute, please.
Big CO2 pellet in his
He's
face.
Talking about
blew
it
up.
Blowing its head up.
Hold on for a minute. I can't hear if the caller... Put her on hold.
All right.
All right, here is Chris Matthews from yesterday.
You guys see Live and Let Die, the great Bond film with Yaphet Kotto as the bad guy, Mr. Big. In the end, they jammed a big CO2 pellet in his face, and he blew up. I have to tell you, Rush Limbaugh is beginning to look more and more like Mr. Big. And at some point, somebody's going to jam a CO2 pellet into his head, and he's going to explode like a giant blimp. That day may come. Not yet.
I don't know. We'll be there to watch.
Anyway, so he had to apologize for that, and when I say he had to, you know, he wouldn't have if he hadn't been told to, and so he tried to qualify it as much as he can. Here is his apology.
Got some concerned email today. I never know what I'm going to get about my comparison yesterday of Rush Limbaugh to Mr. Big. Remember him played by Yaphet Kotto in the great James Bond movie? Anyway, I said I was thinking of Mr. Big, or actually Rush Limbaugh got me thinking of him, whom James Bond said, you'll know the quote here and why I thought of it. He always did have an inflated opinion of himself. Well, it was a movie reference with which I am very proud to relentlessly give you. But in this political atmosphere, I shouldn't have gone into such detail about Mr. Big's demise at the end of that movie, about that CO2 capsule, especially in reference to Rush. And certainly, I shouldn't have speculated, even metaphorically or cinematically, about that happening to Rushbo in the real world.
Well, your wife said the same thing.
So anyway, that's nice, Chris. 877-876-PHIL, getting back on the line here. Margaret Gray from Little Bird Told Me, the nationally syndicated newspaper column. We're talking with Margaret about this story. Dave Checkitz. All right, before we get to some phone calls, I want you to recap. You're saying to me that you invented the quote about Robert Gibbs.
No, it was a quote that I attributed to Barack Obama, but I said that Rush Limbaugh said it on his show.
And so you are saying that because the quote that you invented was said by Obama and that Rush said it on his show, neither man said this, right?
No, neither man said it, but it was a quote from Barack Obama.
And so you feel that that absolves you of guilt of having put words into Rush Limbaugh's mouth?
Still, there is no guilt here. We're talking about getting a focus on a story that involves Mormons. Now, the book that I had written, The Dirty Sandal, The Story of the Jew in Sports, was not a very good seller last year. The reason why I decided...
Wait. You wrote a book called what?
It was a sports book. It was called The Dirty Sandal, The Story of the Jew in Sports. The reason why I...
What does that mean?
You know, for God's sake, Phil, will you let me finish what I'm saying?
Well, that's the title of that book. So you're essentially saying it's unusual to have a Mormon owning a team where most of the owners are Jewish?
I'm saying that it is unusual in a group of people, yes, that some have been Jewish, to see one of these people that is, as they say, wearing the funny diapers or the underwear. That's what I'm saying.
And so Dave Checkitz wears funny underwear, huh?
Phil, I did not say that, and I wish you wouldn't misquote me.
Well, you're the one that is putting words into the mouths of Barack Obama and Rush Limbaugh by saying that Barack Obama said of this guy, Robert Gibbs, he's got N-blood in him.
I said that Obama said that, not Rush.
Yeah, but you said Rush repeated the quote. Neither thing happened.
When you say neither thing, what do you mean?
Miss Gray, you know exactly what I'm saying, and you're just trying to be obstinate. You're saying...
No, I am not.
You're saying that Obama never said that Robert Gibbs has N-blood in him, and that Rush never quoted Obama as having said that Robert Gibbs has N-blood in him.
Phil, what I am saying is, in a world of yarmulkes, we have an N-owner with magic underwear. Isn't that a story?
An N-owner with magic underwear.
Is that not a story, yes or no?
You know that I was not aware of the fact that Dave Checkitz was black.
Well, you learn something new every day, don't you?
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. We have Brian in Brooklyn. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Brian, with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Hendry. Good evening to you.
Yes, sir.
Gray. But I must tell you, your guest sounds like a complete and total idiot. What in the world kind of writer are you to make up something, even as horrible a person or as horrible the rhetoric that Rush Limbaugh says to people every day? That doesn't give you the right to put words in his mouth. What kind of writer are you? It's disgusting to me. And you, Mr. Henry, I listen.
I don't know what you're referring to. I said that Barack Obama referred to Robert Gibbs. That boy's got N-blood in him.
Is the point that you were willing to put something in somebody else's mouth that they did not say? That's what you just said. I know I'm not deaf.
And do you know why I did that? I did that to get the focus on the story of the St. Louis Rams being owned by by a Mormon.
I know plenty about Dave Checkitz. Dave Checkitz is a New York product. He used to run the Knicks and the Rangers out here.
Did you know he was Mormon?
He used to run.
Did you know he was Mormon?
Who cares if he's Mormon? What does his religion got to do with him running a business?
Because Mitt Romney was a Mormon too.
Who gives a
Mitt Romney was a Mormon.
So he's a Mormon.
This gentleman's black and he doesn't know the word.
I don't understand where you get the justification from that he's a Mormon, so he can't own a team because he's a Mormon. He can't choose Rush Limbaugh.
Are you familiar? So it doesn't frighten you that where only Jews were, now Mormons are going in.
What has that got to do with anything?
Not a blasted thing. And this is why I'm disappointing you, Mr. Henry, because how could you even entertain this?
The whole story is this, that Rush Limbaugh had allegedly made some comments. Ms. Gray has now admitted to having concocted one of them. And she doesn't want the story to be about Rush because she thinks the story is about Dave Checkitz, a Mormon. Now, I know that at one time the Mormon faith had some questionable beliefs regarding black people. They don't have those anymore. Mitt Romney made that clear. Mormons have made that clear. Why do you want to stir that up, Ms. Gray?
Well, if you're willing to take Mitt Romney's word for this, if you're willing to say that because a dyed-in-the-wool conservative Republican like Mitt Romney is now saying, no, he isn't a racist.
Okay,
and yet Dave Checkitz...
What does that have to do with him running a franchise? What do any of that have to do with
do
running a franchise?
Do you find it to be... All right. Why is he only running a hockey team? Thank you.
Who
answer that one.
What do you mean? What is that?
What does that guy have to do with anything? Ma'am,
because
with respect, you're making absolutely no sense.
No, you are wrong.
But why...
Why does Dave Checkitz own a hockey team?
Why do you care that he's a Mormon? That's what I want to know. Why is his religion important to you that it deems him unfit for him to run his business, to own his team?
I think it needs to be out there in case he still thinks black people are mud people.
Oh, my God.
What? Well, as I said, that's what the Mormons believed at one time.
The Mormons believed that black people were from the devil at one time. They don't believe that anymore. They've made that very clear that they don't believe that.
Why does he then own a hockey team? Hockey, white. Thank you.
The president,
all right.
Let's see. The president said in his joint session of Congress, he was talking about health care.
Yes,
said
that, Robert Gibbs had N-blood in him.
Listen, he said if it wasn't so cynical, it would be laughable. And that's
absolutely. Good point. Good point. Good point.
That's what the conversation is to me right now.
Good point. Good point. You know, Phil, you suck up to your listeners so much.
Well, I'd rather be agreeing with him right now than you, because what you're telling me is, A, Mormons still believe what they claim they do not believe. B, Dave Checketts owns a hockey team, so he only has to deal with white players. And C, Dave Checketts being a Mormon isn't that unusual because only Jews own teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
And Mr. Henry, one last point in terms of...
And then you say that Obama said that Robert Gibbs has N-blood in him.
I said that Rush quoted him as saying that.
But neither guy said it.
Nobody said anything like that. You completely made this up. What planet are you from? You can't...
I beg your pardon. I'm from the planet. I am from the planet Earth. And I care desperately about the greenhouse effect.
All right. Mr.
What? And I'll say something else to you.
She's not.
Brian, I'm going to say one more thing to Brian. I have to say one. Don't you think? Do you think it's that far off that Robert Gibbs?
All right.
No, I want both of you men to tell me. Don't you think Robert Gibbs is part black?
Who cares?
Do I think that? I don't care. I'm not answering that question.
Yeah,
so you're both afraid to. No, you're both afraid to.
If I could just make one comment, though.
Go ahead.
I think he was denied his pursuit of happiness today. Only because, and I don't like Rush Limbaugh. I don't like the hatred that he spews.
I think Robert Gibbs. I think Gibbs. That's where that boy's got in.
He worked for that money. You understand what I'm saying?
Brian, do you know what you look like with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustling rube. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you're not too far removed from two generations of poor white trash. And oh, how the boys found you with their sticky, tired fumblings in the back seats of cars, when all you wanted to do, Brian, was to get out, get anywhere, get all the way to the FBI.
Oh, boy, she's nuts. Get her out of here.
Yeah, please.
All right, Brian, thanks so much. Thank you very much, sir. I think those are very intelligent thoughts about Rush. I think that Rush is controversial. I do not believe he's a racist. I know he's an entertainer. I know that he says things that are taken out of context. I wish like hell... We knew what the context was of some of these things that he may have said, and I wish like hell I knew which ones he didn't say, because when someone attributes something to you that you never said that makes you look like a very disreputable person, you are entitled to sue the hell out of that person for libel and to collect damages. So we're going to find out whether that happened or not. My understanding is, what is it?
That was from Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Some of the things that have been attributed to Rush Limbaugh, some of the things that people claim he said that he denies having ever said. You know who deserves a posthumous Medal of Honor? James Earl Ray, the confessed assassin of Martin Luther King. We miss you, James. Godspeed. The fact that a person would say that on commercial radio and not lose their job, well, that's impossible. That's just impossible. It's impossible. For Rush Limbaugh to not lose, if the syndicators and the money that back Rush Limbaugh heard him say those words and kept him employed, then they're culpable too. Have you thought about that? Well, the fact is he never said it. On the line with me is Margaret Gray, who has willingly admitted to having concocted one of these sayings.
No, I did not concoct any of those sayings.
All right, you did say, though, that Rush was quoting Obama's having said, Robert Gibbs, I swear that boy has N-blood in him.
I did write that, yes, as a part of a larger effort to point toward the what I call the Mormon move, the Mormon move into the purchase of a St. Louis Rams.
And you still haven't told us what your problem is with Mormons.
I don't have a problem, Phil, at all. I simply find it unusual that in a world of Jews, a Mormon would step. In stepped a Mormon, as a very interesting article written by Tom Schlabel starts. In stepped the Mormon. And then it goes on. It's very fascinating.
Is that the name of the article?
Yes, and that's the first line in the article. No, actually, I have it here. So then came the Jew, so then came the Mormon. That's it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Connie, listening to us in Charleston, South Carolina. Connie, how are you doing tonight? Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I don't know about your guest. I am a black woman, and I find her statements to be absolutely ludicrous. Okay? She obviously does not know the meaning of concoct nor fabricate. How can she... You know one thing? That's like saying, I'm not going to purchase anything from a store until I know who the owners are, until I know what their race is, until
Absolutely.
I know what
of course.
Religion
of course.
Is.
Do you? Don't you?
Excuse me? Honey, I'm...
In other words, you willingly buy products from companies that employed Jewish slave labor.
What do you mean, employed Jewish slave labor?
What do you mean?
You heard me. I don't stutter.
No. You didn't stutter, but you did not make sense. Okay? Now...
You don't employ slave labor.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't employ slave labor. Slave labor is slave labor.
It's illegal. So if you know that somebody is selling something, doing something illegal in a store, you go into that store... then you are liable to be locked up with the people who own the store because you're in
there. Well, but you said you didn't check out. You didn't check people out. You did. You didn't say that. You didn't say that.
No, yes, she did.
I go to Sears. I go to Walmart. I go to the little...
Owned by Jews?
I stop at...
Owned by Jews?
None of those...
Owned by Jews?
I'm going to check.
So what if they're owned by... Good God.
Like I said before, lady, you are ludicrous. Anybody who needs...
Ludacris, that's the name of a singer. It's called Ludacris.
Yeah, right. What do you think she said?
Anybody who would print statements like you have printed about anybody and still maintains their job, their employers should be...
I thought...
Yes. Yes.
I thought it was entirely...
I agree entirely with what Connie's saying. What about the people that syndicate your column?
You might be physically from Earth, but your brain is out in space.
No, my brain is in my skull. Your brain is in the hands of Rush Limbaugh.
All right, look.
Phil, I want to ask this lady a question.
Thank you very much.
I have to ask this woman a question.
I'm going to get off the phone. She is sad.
You don't think it's plausible? You don't think it's plausible that Obama said that about Gibbs? You don't think it's plausible?
That Obama said that Gibbs, he swears that boy's got part N blood in him?
Yes.
No, I don't think he said that.
What about Connie? Connie, you don't think it's plausible?
You know one thing? I'm not. I cannot get into President Obama's head to see what he is thinking.
Aha! So you do think it's possible?
Something. If somebody does not say something out of their mouth, nobody would know that you are as crazy as you are, except you put that on paper. Nobody can say what anybody else has in their mind.
I thought it was entirely plausible that Obama would say that about Gibbs because Gibbs...
You cannot say that. You cannot honestly say that. You cannot...
Well, I think it's possible.
But you attribute it to Rush Limbaugh, and Rush Limbaugh never said it. And then you say that Limbaugh said it, and people think he's a jerk.
What?
I can't understand you people.
You ought to be... You're right to say so.
Are you a St. Louis Rams fan or are you not? Are you a St. Louis Rams fan? Yes or no?
Am I what?
Are you a St. Louis Rams fan? Yes or no?
Am I in sync with what?
Are
with
you
what
in
you're
sync?
Saying?
Are you in Leafland? Are you in Leafland?
Are you in leaflets? She's screwing around with you. Get out of here, Margaret. Really? Thank you very much, Connie.
Are you a member?
Sorry,
you come from the land of leaflets.
Don't worry about
it. All right, thank you.
I'm going to take the name of her newspaper.
You know what? I'm going to pray for you. I'll pray for you.
I'm ever going to do this. I've ever done this in my 68 years of life.
Dickland Syndication.
I'm going to write her newspaper and ask them why.
How dare you? How dare you?
Somebody like that. Hey, listen, without a dare, I would have done it. Okay?
Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information.